Hi everybody, it's Nadine Peart here from Healthy You, Healthy Love, and today it's certainly a great pleasure for me to be introducing my next guest. My next guest is Gillian Madigan, and I want to say Gilligan, like Gilligan's Island. So Gillian Madigan is a psychosomatic therapist and has over 17 years experience bringing transformation and awareness to individuals and also corporate groups. She's an expert in identifying areas to enhance, nurture, and restructure, allowing you to move forward on a more positive path of experience in the area of love and relationships and basically any area in your life. Gillian has many strings to her bow. She's, as I mentioned, a psychosomatic therapist and trainer. She's a hypnotherapist and also an NLP practitioner. And she is from the Identity Centre in Australia. She works with clients across the globe as well. So she's really definitely very forward in her way and her approach when it comes to therapy and coaching and so forth. And today we're going to be talking about a specific topic. And before I mention that, I'm going to introduce her to you. So welcome, Gillian, to the Love Room.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. So we're going to be talking about masculinity and femininity. And today's topic really is about what are you advertising in love and relationships? So what, as a female and as a male, what are you putting out there when you're connecting or when you're dating or trying to attract the opposite mate? So before we talk about that, though, I'd love to hear a little bit more about you and so your history and how you got into what you do.
I got into what I do about 19 years ago due to some relationship challenges that happened, and I moved and I came to live down on the Gold Coast with my dad, who happens to be Herman Muller, and he's the developer and creator of psychosomatic therapy here on the Gold Coast, and he teaches worldwide. Working with him and creating his manuals really stimulated my understanding of people. Mm-hmm. So I then went on to become a teacher and a trainer of psychosomatic therapists and incorporated in my business.
So what is psychosomatic therapy? And for those of the people listening, I've actually done some of my training. I've started my training with Gillian as to add another string to my bow. And it's fascinating information. So what is it, like, so people understand what we're talking about? So
psychosomatics is of the psyche, of the mind, and soma of the body. So connecting how your mind and your body actually create who you are. So in right from the bone structure to the tissue and the skin that develops over that bone structure, it creates a story. So the bones are the aspects of who you are as you grow up as a child and into adulthood. And then how you interact with your world is how you flesh out that bone structure. It's almost like a home, your skin and your muscles are your furnishings. So how you interact with your world, you create that tissue on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Well, I definitely, well, there's certain things like the skin and how our body's formed in our arms and where we have like extra padding in our faces and things like that. Isn't that, that's how it's...
That's exactly right. So when you look someone in the face, you're actually looking at their whole body. The whole body's represented in the face, so you don't even have to take someone's clothes off to know what's going on, which is even a bonus sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for those of you listening, if you ever got to know Gillian, and she would look at you, and there's no hiding because she can see what she needs to know by just looking at you. So it's quite incredible, and it's quite powerful actually when it comes to attraction and understanding your mate as well. Your partner.
Very, very true. Because what actually happens is most of the information that we read from someone is not the actual words. It's how you hold yourself, how your tissues are formed, how you interact with someone on a level of your clothing, your makeup, how you stand. So your information is actually getting transported without you saying a word.
Yeah. So if we're talking about masculinity and femininity, mm-hmm. Are some women more masculine and more than they're feminine? And I suppose it works the same question I could ask for men. Are some men more feminine than they are masculine?
Definitely. When I have a look at a face, I divide the face down the center. Mm-hmm. So the feminine side is that left side,
yeah,
and the masculine side is the right side. So the masculine analytical, the feminine creative. Now, if you've got lots of horizontal lines, it blocks the energy that flows between all your organs, your structure, and you end up with these masculine blocks on your feminine side. So you could actually, when someone's looking at you, they can see this really strong, blocked feminine and this soft masculine, which can be a little bit confusing if you're trying to show someone that you're a big, strong man and you really, it's coming across as this soft, delicate man. So blocking your emotions can actually make you less masculine rather than more feminine.
Okay. So I was actually speaking to a client yesterday and I was thinking of you. And he has a side of his face and he's very much a giver, the giving type, and he's very much been in his relationship with his wife. He's been more of a carer type role. And he has a lot of stuff that's happened in his life that's got him to be that, take that role. And his face, though, on the feminine side is higher.
Okay, yep.
So,
So when something is higher, there can be two things. One, it can be structural, so it can actually come from the bone level and understanding in childhood that creates that, or it can be muscular tension, where the muscle is actually pulling it up like this. You can be quite hard on your own self.
Yes.
Rather than being hard on other people, you tend to whip yourself into a frenzy because you're not good enough. Mm. And that could be some programming that's actually come from childhood into adulthood.
Yeah, because one side of his mouth, his masculine side was down and his feminine side was up.
So he may smile things off too.
Yes.
So, it's okay. And even though underneath he's not feeling so good about it at all.
Yes. So I was thinking I need Jillian here for this one. okay. So then what are some physical signs that you might be more one way or the other? So we did speak a little bit about the sides of the face. And so what are some things to look out for the people listening to this to work out whether they're more masculine or feminine in their ways based on some of their facial structures?
Okay. So at the bone level, you could have a very strong jawline, a bit like mine, where it's very wide at the bottom and not very long at the top. It's quite a masculine analytical, but also a very, very masculine physical kind of face. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have that feminine or that intuitive length to it. Okay. So then you also have what type of tissue is on the surface. Is it soft and juicy or is it really sharp and hard? Mm-hmm. So the bone is almost exposed because the bone is more that analyzing at that old level where you were growing up.
Okay. All right. So a person who's listening to this that has a stronger jaw, more of a more
square.
Solid square, and is someone potentially a bit more masculine in their thinking?
Yes.
And then the tissue then will determine whether they're more feminine or masculine?
The tissue will tell you how they do things. So they could actually have a really square jaw and very strong looking, but when you touch their face, it could be quite soft and delicate. So they like to come across as strong, but they're not really that strong.
Okay.
They're quite soft and delicate underneath.
But if a person's got a strongish jaw and also strong in the face where there's not that delicate soft tissue and they are a little bit more sort of structured, tougher in their face in a sense, less juicy tissue-wise, and that would indicate that they're probably the jaw and the facials, like they are more that person. They are tend to be a little bit more sort of
earthy and strong and overbearing kind of in their physical.
Okay. Are there any other features for the face that really are strong indicators whether someone's more masculine or in their feminine?
When you see a very delicate features, they're more refined. So they're looking for deep, fine detail and fine aspects in life. Mm-hmm. So they're normally quite delicate in nature unless they look sharp. So if they're sharp, they tend to be sharp in nature as well. So those all those words that we use to describe people are actually describing that person. So if you have a look at someone and you see those little sharp eyes, they're measuring their world. They're trying to define it, getting a sharper view. Whereas when you see someone with big, huge eyes, they have this big heart, baby, that they really want to bring everything in. They want to have that openness in their life.
Yes.
So with those juicy lips, you know, when you get those juicy lips, that's right.
But who wants to have my juicy lips?
When you're looking at juicy lips, when you have a look at a face, this is the mind. There's the arms. This is the heart. This is the torso with the solar plexus in it. This is your fun park here, and your legs come down here like this.
Yes.
So all those lovely ladies that go out there that aren't single and they've got their fun park all decorated up like a neon sign, be careful what you advertise because you tend to attract exactly what you're advertising.
And that's the whole thing, is what are we advertising? So for the on this, well, sorry, the ladies are listening to this, some of them are single, some are dating, some women are in a relationship, and I suppose the question is, so we have this masculinity and femininity, and so many people at the moment is very big about talking about women connecting more to their femininity. And different relationships work for different reasons. Sometimes a man is more feminine, so they're more attracted to a more masculine kind of woman, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Although I think that in our society, women have been pushing a lot harder over the years to do so many more things, and a lot of women seem to have hardened up. Do you agree with that?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Because their job role has actually expanded and they still only have the same amount of energy, they've had to be tough in areas that they may not have been tough in before. And they've softened up too much in other areas because they want to get ahead. So sometimes in their relationships and in work, they become, in their relationships and at home, they become tough. And yet at work, they're very soft and easily manipulated by the sensitivity, and then there's that role reversal where at work they're soft and overdoing it, and at home they become hard and restricted and confined. And guys go through the same aspects. They're really tough at work, and then when they come home, they're easily manipulated by the family situation. So there's that two-way aspect that may be happening in different people's lives because we've changed so much in the last 25 years, 30 years.
So then what does that mean for a relationship when people are wanting to improve their relationships and wanting to connect more? Are there things that you can just do with your body and the way you stand and the way you that can help with a relationship?
Definitely. So when I look at someone, I look at every aspect of their body. Mm-hmm. Which part of them is away from their center? Are they sticking their neck out so far that they've become disengaged from their emotions?
Yeah.
Are they so back here in the past that they don't see a future?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they so stuck down that they cannot actually pull themselves out?
So I was about to say, you can use me as an example even. So when I first met Gillian, I mean, I have a little bit of work to do, not too much, right?
That's right. Very true.
That's right. And one of the things that I would do is that I would put myself forward. And even in my interviews previous to this one, I was always leaning forward in the camera. And I've had to learn to pull back because I was too far forwards all the time. So how can you sort of break that down?
Well, when your chin is forward like this, you're almost saying, come on, give it to me here. Come on, bring it on. I can take anything. The only challenge is that when you're so far away from who you are, you don't know what you can take. And then you tend to overextend yourself. But also you lose sight of your own path. So as you bring your chin back to you, It makes you slow down because
It does.
your mind's not in control anymore.
Yes.
You have to come home to whoever is living here, which just happens to be you. And when you start feeling what you're feeling, you have to slow down because there's so much tissue to experience your world.
Well, when they talk about body language and dating, and when they say that when you are on a date, if you're leaning forward, like maybe not necessarily your whole chin and head, but if you're sitting a little bit forward, it means that you're engaging and that you're showing someone that you're interested. If you sit back too much, like as the opposite of that is that you're not actually connecting. You're kind of like sitting in observation potentially and not really there. So for somebody who this is all about what you're presenting and what you're advertising. For a woman who's listening to this, who is wanting to meet somebody and wanting a real relationship, they're wanting to attract a man that wants love and connection, and or vice versa, we're talking to a man who wants to meet a woman who wants to have real love and connection. Is there something or a certain way that is more effective when it comes to connecting?
Okay, so if you want, each person has a particular aspect that they would like in someone else. So if you want that in someone else, you need to actually know what it feels like to have it. Because if you don't feel it, then how are you going to recognize it when it's in front of you? So the experience needs to, so when you're going out there, if you want to, you want someone who's engaging and open and wants to have a relationship, guess what? You need to recognize what engaging and open is. Because if you're wanting engaging and open and you're sitting like this, doesn't matter how engaging and open that person's going to be, you're not open to receiving it.
But then again, for someone who is putting themselves out there, if you're doing that too much, then you're almost too available. You're almost, not that you're needy, but it does have that potential. You're trying to jump on somebody a little bit. Is that kind of how it
I
works?
like that. That can be overwhelming for people because, in actual fact, you're away from your center. So you're overwhelming someone else's space. You're really encroaching on their space. You're not allowing them to meet you. So if you're sitting and you're sitting quite nice and calmly within your own self and you feel what you feel, then that is actually quite open. You don't have to be sitting there with everything wide open to be open. You could have your ankles crossed. You could have your hands sitting quite comfortably on your lap, but you're still open because you're balanced within yourself. So it's just sitting within your own space and engaging the person. Because if you're too in their space, they've got no space to express themselves.
No, that's right. And they feel that, well, people do feel encroached upon, really, on an energetic and also literally physical sense. So it works both ways. Also, for the women out there that don't put themselves forwards, so they are the ones that are very reserved, fearful of being rejected. Maybe they don't feel like they're good enough, or whatever their story is. So what can they do to feel or to give the message that they're, a great girl, they're interested in meeting somebody, and that they're at least approachable?
Three things. Firstly, practice being approachable. At work, with your family, just sitting with yourself in front of the mirror, it's really a cool thing to do. Just sit there and just go, would I go anywhere near her? Would she be interesting enough for me to go near her? So if I adjust myself fractionally, is that going to make a difference? If I tilt my head, will that be a little bit more approachable? Will I, instead of being like this, can I just relax my hands? It may just be one thing that you change, but you need to be able to practice that before you go out there. Because if you don't practice it, you go back to your automatic, this is my comfort zone, Doesn't matter how ineffective it is for the activity that you're going to do. This is my comfort zone. This is where I feel safe.
Yeah.
So by practicing how it feels opening or relaxed, by practicing it first,
yes,
then that becomes the new pattern. And when you do go out there, that is your new pattern.
Yeah. So changing subtle things, yes, dropping your hands, standing a bit taller, maybe being a bit more heart open, pulling your head back if you need to, maybe.
Just so you can see yourself.
Or you put yourself forward a little bit.
Well, when you put yourself forward, go from the hips.
Okay.
Don't go from the shoulders.
Yeah.
Remember, that can be overwhelming. So go move forward just fractionally from the hips.
Yeah.
But not from the upper body, because it'll just crunch up your solar plexus and make breathing hard, and then your anxiety rises. So sitting up nice and tall and just moving forward through the hips. It's really amazing how all those old deportment exercises that were of our mother's age are very, very helpful. Very helpful.
There was some merit in those classes.
They were, definitely.
And I suppose in a way that's stuff that we're not being taught anymore. That was kind of normal back in my day when I was a little younger. That, you know, I don't really, maybe I'm just out of the loop because I don't have teenage children or young girls, but I suppose, yeah, that's something that both men and women probably need a little bit of help with. People become a bit, I don't know, they're just the basic stuff that we can do that does make a difference in how we're received and perceived.
That's correct. Because when you uplift yourself, you're actually giving yourself space to be expressive. Mm. As soon as you crumple down or you switch part of you off, then there's less of you to express or to be recognized or to just have pleasure in your life.
Yeah. More pleasure.
Woohoo. Pleasure's more wonderful.
Pleasure. I talk a lot about pain and pleasure. You know, you're going with pleasure or pain.
Well, one can lead to the other.
Of course. That is true, Jillian.
Either way. You've got to have both to have that experience.
And there's sweet pain too. But anyway, now when it comes to femininity, can women be too feminine?
Oh, definitely. Too feminine. You can be too feminine, disengaged from reality. You can be disengaged from actually getting things done. So that can be off-putting for some people. So what is it that I normally get people to write down, what is your list of things that you want in a relationship?
Yep.
And then I go, how many of these things on this list do you already have? So a lot of people, there's two groups of people. They want what they don't have.
Yes.
Or they want what they've already got because they recognize it.
Mm.
So you get the opposites attract or you get the same attract. So some people really function well in relationships because they're opposite to each other. They drive each other. They're the fire and the water. And so they help each other grow. Then you have the people that are fairly similar. So they use their commonality to actually live in a very successful relationship.
Yes.
So looking at your list and going, okay, this is what I don't have and this is what I'd like in my relationship. But at what cost?
Mm.
Okay, so what can I trade? What can I compromise? A lot of my clientele are between 45 and 55 when it comes to relationships.
Yes,
they're in that yucky period where their children are leaving home and they've forgotten how to date their partner.
Mm. They've been busy doing other things, they're taking their focus, and now it's
that's right.
Just up they to don't them, know whether yeah.
they that's right. They don't know whether they want to be there anymore. Mm. So first thing I do, I go, what attracted you to your partner in the first place? Oh, you know, we did this, this, and this. I said, well, what did you wear? What was your physicality?
Mm.
Remember those things that were successful.
Mm.
They're in a different environment. Bring them into
back into the present. Yeah,
that's right. So what makes you feel sexy? What makes you feel feminine?
Yeah.
If you've got quite a feminine husband, what makes you feel strong and determined? So going back to the past, but bringing it into the present, to evolve into that area. So how you wear your hair, how you hold yourself, mm-hmm. what you put on your body.
Mm-hmm. What you put on the body, yes.
Yes.
Maybe we could talk about that for a moment in a minute, yes. Yeah.
So all those things are sending messages to people before you've opened your mouth.
Yeah. Okay, so women who want to meet a great guy and they want to give the message that they're available potentially and that they're after something serious, they're not interested in just picking up some guy for the night. Are there specific things that women need to, I mean, obviously there's lipstick and all those things that you can do. Mm-hmm. And yes, the lips can give a more of a sensual sexual energy. Mm-hmm. Maybe marry that with certain body language. Like, are there any sort of tips that you can give for those women?
If you're looking for a relationship, don't range in a pack. It's very scary for guys.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Go with one other or two other people.
Yes.
When you dress, make sure that you're real.
Meaning?
Nothing worse than having too much
coming back.
Fashionable assistance.
Yes. Yeah.
For when they come and see you in your natural state, it could be a bit of a shock.
Okay. Yeah.
And that includes
no false clothing. Advertising.
Yes, that includes makeup and clothing. Mm-hmm. I did have a client mm-hmm. whose husband she'd been married to for 14 years had never seen her without makeup.
What?
Ever.
14 years.
Even when she was having her babies. Never seen her without makeup.
And was it because she really just wasn't a physically, I mean, in her mind, she didn't think she was physically attractive, or she was just that lacking that much self-worth and that insecure that it wouldn't have mattered how beautiful she was naturally, she just didn't feel good within herself without makeup?
It was a learned pattern.
Uh-huh.
She learned it from her mother.
Yeah.
And then it became an insecurity. So she'd never seen a mother without makeup. She thought that was normal. So it became normal for her. And he had asked her, you know, when do you take your makeup off? When do you? And he would wake up and she would have her new face on for the day.
Wow.
So imagine how much managing that would have taken, how much control she would have had to have. So
exhausting.
Very much so. So anything that you advertise when you go out, you need to be able to maintain in a relationship. Mm. So if you're going out there and you look like this supermodel, are you going to maintain that supermodel look for the rest of your life? Why is this supermodel look so important to you? And I'm not saying the supermodel look as in looking good and feeling good and all that. I'm talking about, you know, having your hair done and having your makeup. They need to see you in your natural state at some time.
But I think that also is the kind of guys that I think that some men know if a girl sort of seems what they call high maintenance. I had two occasions when I was with male friends at the time, and one particular time this really cute blonde girl walked past and he was single. And I said to him, oh, I actually write about this in one of my programs. And I said, oh, she's really gorgeous. And the first thing he said, well, yeah, she's cute, but she's just hard work. And I said, well, how do you know? He said, look at her hair, look at her makeup, look at the way she's dressed. She doesn't know how to relax. And I find that overwhelming. I'm not attracted to a woman who goes to such lengths to try and look like a certain way. He said, I just don't find it attractive.
Exactly right, because it takes time to do that.
Yeah.
And it's the same as I'm a lifesaver on the beach, and these amazing bodies that come down to the beach,
Yeah.
and they say, oh, some of the girls around me go, oh, he's gorgeous, and I go, oh, wow, to have a body like that, he would be spending 5 days in the gym. Are you willing to have a man in your life that spends 5 days in the gym and eats his meals really, special and
Yeah,
all
really
that type of thing?
controlled.
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's good to look at, but are you willing to live with that?
It's true, actually. I mean, I've dated men before that are super fit and that they're obsessed with the gym. They have to go, and at all, no cost will they be coming. Not, well, generally speaking, I mean, not saying never, but they are. There's like, it is like an addiction, and they don't feel right without going to the gym for 2 hours every night after work or whatever it is.
And that works with girls too,
Yeah.
they must have their hair done, or they must have this, or they must have that, for them to function in a natural state in their world. So you need to decide what you are willing to compromise with to have what you want.
And that just comes down to if you feel that you have to do that, then I would probably be saying, as you would be, start working on loving you, liking you, being comfortable with you, so you don't have to be at that level, because it does translate into other areas of the relationship. If you're so pedantic about all these things that are superficial, then what else does that, what else, and as that male friend of mine said, she'd just be hard work. Not just on a, what she looks like, but in other emotional things. Now, he may not have been accurate. However, he probably, there was there, I believe there's some truth in that, for sure.
And that's the message he got. She may not be, but that's the message he got. So that's really what you need to look at. What is that advertising? And the trend with tattoos at the moment.
Yes.
And oh yeah, they look gorgeous. And I go, yeah, how many thousand dollars do you think is on that person? So if tattooing is their addiction or their passion, how many thousands of dollars are they spending on their passion? Just to have a sleeve might cost them $1,000. Just a non-colored sleeve. So, what is it that's attracting you, and are you willing for the consequences of that attraction? What's the trade-off?
Yeah. The trade-off. Oh.
Compromise and trade-off is the baseline of all relationships. You cannot just be you in a relationship.
That's right. There's
Is
always there's always things that you, I mean, for the women and, men in the world who are just too fussy for love. I remember I did a TV segment on that, and it's a tricky topic actually, because what is too fussy? What's realistic? What's unrealistic? What's not? I've had times in my life when I've had to ask myself the same question. So yeah, there are trade-offs, and I think it's really important for people to be really clear. Now, when it comes to men and women looking for a partner, what are some advertising that men do that are a good indicator that they're either not a great guy for you potentially, or potentially a good partner for you?
Okay, that'll come down to your needs again.
Yes.
So, if you like grooming, do they smell nice? Do they look good? It could be an important aspect of your life. So, that could be the door that opens. If they're sloppy, you'll probably find they're sloppy at home. So there's little those little aspects in a relationship. Just got to be careful with manners and things like that, because sometimes they're just a bit of a ruse. It's the little things. When you look at a face, do they have that raw, strong, dependable, functional area, which is the physical, is in the lower area
The
of their
physical part,
face?
yeah, of the face, yep.
Are they capable of doing things? Or if they have a little tiny pointy chin and they're sensitive and easily manipulated by their own sensitivity, but they have this amazing mind that they could be great planners or designers or creators. What is the trade-off? If they've got too square a face, they may be immovable, but you may need someone who's immovable, someone who's going to toe the line all the way down. So what are your needs? What are you looking for? Are you looking for stability? Are you looking for a nice, easygoing person, someone with a curvy face? Are you looking for someone who's intellectually, likes intellectual challenges? You want to look for a large forehead. There's lots of different aspects to look for.
What is a face for a man who's very gentle and kind and considerate? What are those kind of features?
Normally find that their skin is quite soft and delicate, and the tissue needs to be soft and manageable. If it's hard, that tends to relate to how they relate to the world. Hard,
okay.
Tough, strong.
Yes.
But if it's manageable, so it's very active, so yes. Moves as they're talking,
yes.
Then yep. You know there's flexibility in there. Mm. Yes, they could be strong, but there's also that soft flexibility as well. Large eyes, because you want an open heart.
Open heart. So large eyes, ladies, is an open heart.
Yeah.
And eyes that slope like towards upwards and down.
Yeah. Like this tend yes. to be more, they tend to look down at themselves. Yep. So their self-esteem can be quite challenging and they may set their standards really high.
Yeah, and even the women who are listening who have eyes that do slope upwards, it's highly likely that you're quite tough on yourself. And does that also mean that they're tough on other people?
Well, your standards are high. So when your standards are high, then
sure.
your expectations
are projected onto others. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Eyebrows?
Eyebrows, yeah.
If they go straight across, they tend to be my way or the highway, black and
yes.
white.
Yes.
Bit of a curve in it. They have more flexibility. They can push their mind out of the way of their heart.
Yes.
If they're pointy, they're really good at editing and critiquing work.
Yes.
But also can be challenged
mm-hmm.
internally because they can become their own inner critic.
Okay, yeah.
So there's a little bit of...
I suppose that's that sort of your strength is your weakness, I suppose. It's like that ability to yeah. be fine and to see things with incredible detail, but you also see a lot of other things with incredible detail that can actually work against you, right?
That's right. So yeah. It's where your focus is. What are you focusing on? Is it internally on yourself, externally outside of you? You know, what is your focus? So you may have a tool or a talent within yourself, but it could also be your downfall if your focus is incorrect.
Yeah. So for the women who are there any things to avoid when looking for certain men? Like, and looking at me, if you're with a man, are there any features that you just... would say to them, you know what, watch out for that, because that is a very strong indicator that this man isn't emotionally able to connect with you, or that, I mean, is there anything like that you can suggest?
Yes, sure. Tissue is a reflection of your expression,
mm-hmm.
okay? So if the bone is really close to the surface of the skin, that means there's not much tissue to engage. It's not that okay. nice springy expression. So they tend to be quite hard and tough and overly sensitive because all their programming, which is in the bones, is right next to the surface. They don't have that time to reflect before they express.
So in a way, one of the biggest things that I'm hearing through talking with you today is that tissue. It is. I know there's a lot of other things, but the tissue is such an easy thing to see, really.
Definitely.
Because it is a big indicator of a lot of what I'm talking about, yeah.
Because what we say in psychosomatics is your issues are in your tissues.
Ah, issues so in the tissues, okay.
Yeah, if you've got hard, rubbery tissue, things tend to bounce off and you don't really engage. If you've got nice... delicate tissue that reflects and relaxes and responds, that yes. means that you have the ability to engage.
Yes.
If there's no tissue at all, you're exposed. So your inner world is right on the surface. So there's no time for you to stop and act. You tend to react.
So for the women that are a little bit more fuller figured.
Yes,
It
like
doesn't,
me.
yes, it doesn't necessarily mean that just because you're bigger and you carry probably more body fat, that doesn't necessarily, I mean, obviously there's a reason why people are a little bit bigger because of, there's also emotional stuff sometimes going on. Yeah. But it doesn't always mean that their tissue's soft though, does it? No, it can be
That's
firm.
correct. It can be, and it can be different all over your body. So in some areas it can be really hard and resistant. Some areas can be soft and delicate, almost like babies, skin and tissue. In other areas it could be really dry. Each area in your body reflects an energy center or a chakra. So that energy is telling you something about who you are. So if you're dry in a particular area, it may be that you're dehydrated and worn out energetically in that area. So,
And so for the women who are a little slighter, the more of a slighter frame, what does that necessarily sort of say about them?
They're quick and fast, they're quite reactive. So, their speech tends to be a little bit faster or a lot faster. When your head's out, it's really fast. And when you come home, it slows down. Have you noticed?
I do
Yeah.
know. I
So,
sound like I have a different accent when I speak slower.
that's right, you do. You roll things.
I do, but when I speak quickly, I sound more Australian
Yep.
and less educated. See, I'm not using my brain wisely when I'm forward, but when I
Well,
pull back.
that's right, because you're in fifth gear, you're just busy getting to where you're going. You're not actually engaging who you are while you're going.
I'm in head, not, I'm in head mode, not heart mode.
That's right,
And my
that's
next
right.
program is all about the heart connection stuff. So it's really important that as I'm talking to Jillian now and for you ladies listening to this about the heart connection, one of my things is getting out of my head and into my heart. And one of the ways that I can do it, which thank you to Jillian teaching me this, is that I can actually move my body slightly, move back, bring my head more into myself, and I just naturally am more heartfelt. And it's such a simple thing to do. And there's a couple of things that Jillian taught me about the way I stand as well, my hips a little bit. And it really is hugely different. So I'm constantly aware of it. And when I'm around people, when I'm engaging in social environments, it really is, there is a significant change in the way I feel and the way I relate to people. And it's wonderful. And it really is for me, it's been such little changes which can actually create such, huge and astronomical change. It's amazing. The simple things can just do wondrous things.
Yeah. And in actual fact, you're pretty close to balance. It's only those slight adjustments that need to be made. And when there's only slight adjustments, then yes, the information is quite big. But when there's quite a few adjustments, it may take a longer period of time for you to see that change actually happen or feel it within yourself. But you'll notice other people reacting differently around you, and you tend to attract different types of people into your life because of those changes that you make. So your physiology, your physical story becomes different, and other people are attracted to that different story.
Well, before we wrap it up, which we will in a moment, I just want to ask you one thing about the CEO leader type woman. And that, as we mentioned before, women are becoming more and more that leader, a bit tougher in the workplace, or they can be anyway. And for those women, there's a lot of information out there about how to soften, how to be more feminine. So, is there something, we did talk, a little bit already about this, but is there anything else that you'd like to add for those kinds of women who are tougher, who are, and also do tend to bring it home, tend to be very direct and kind of bark orders at their partner? Not only verbally doing things different, but even just on a physical, like psychosomatic level, is there anything that these women can do to be more in their feminine, and to be more gentler, and to attract and to be more attractive to their partner?
Well, in actual fact, it's the little postural changes that you can make that makes the difference. Because if you see a lot of these CEO ladies, they tend to be chin lifted and dressed to absolutely smash you. The heels are huge, so they tend to disengage from reality. The outfits they wear are quite uniform and conforming.
Yes.
So if you want to actually express something different, come down to earth a little bit more, be more accessible, be the woman, be the one who is open to many different things, but stay within yourself and make those choices, but be open to accepting some of the information that's out there. Because really what women have done is that my way or the highway kind of attitude when they get into those jobs, because they've had to fight so hard to get there.
Yeah.
But once you're there, you can make a difference by being the woman that you are, not the killer, not the, you know, the black widow kind of woman, but the gentle one who has understanding, but also has her own particular standards within herself. So when you come home, you know, if someone's asked to cook for you, allow them. If it's not really your way, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's no biggie. Next time you can do it your way.
Yes, exactly. Not having to have everything exactly how you want it to be happy. Mm. Like you don't not, yeah, I think that that is a thing. Not everyone suffers from this, of course. Some people just be happy to have a meal cooked for them, but being so particular about having things a certain way and not just being grateful for the things that are lovely in your life and that are there for you, rather than it being perfect versus being just happy with, being happy with it versus being perfect.
Whatever, you know, what it comes down to is it important? Is it really important to you? Or is it just something that's, you know, a 2 or a 3 on the scale? Does everything have to be a 10?
That is right. Because it's not possible to get a 10 all the time.
No, that's why we have other numbers.
Yeah. Some 7s and some 8s are just fine as well on the scale.
5's okay. 5's okay.
Okay, so before we wrap it up, is there anything that you'd like to share as a giveaway or just more as a last token kind of thought to encapsulate, you know, how psychosomatic therapy and, I mean, encapsulated with everything else that you do, how it can really make a difference for women and for men in relating and dating?
Well, understanding yourself and what you want, that's the first thing. Yes. Otherwise, you're jumping into a pond that you don't have no idea what exists in there and whether you want anything out of it in the first place.
Yes.
You know, so understanding what you want.
Yes.
Why you want it. Yes. And how you want it.
Yes.
Because then you will actually see it out there. Mm. If you can identify what you desire out there, then you're looking. Mm. It's like someone saying, oh, I heard this new name, Shireen or something like that. Now, who's heard Shireen? But then you hear it everywhere.
Around the place. Yes.
But that's exactly right. Or you've never seen this colour car and all of a sudden this colour car turns up all over the place.
I do want to ask you, well, I just thought about something actually as you're talking then. I did think of one thing I haven't asked you that I think is really would be great. Some women out there seem to attract guys that just want one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that women are doing? So what are they advertising these women that is not working for them? Because they're wanting something more serious. So once again, they're not being necessarily what they want.
Yes.
You did say that.
Yeah.
But what are there certain things, like obviously you said lipstick, is it? I mean, I know that some women just do wear the short outfits and the full-on high heels and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So is there anything that you think, well, a sure thing is that this is why you're maybe attracting this kind of guy more than the other type or whatever it is?
Okay. Are you advertising that you're a party girl?
Mm-hmm.
Party girls don't want relationships. They want a party.
Yeah. Well, maybe they do want a relationship, but they're not coming across like they do.
No, they're coming across as the party girl. Yeah. You know, the good time, I'll, you know, wherever I'll go, I'll be the fun, I'll be the... Not the I'll sit back and watch and wait for the right person. I'll be out there.
Yes.
So what you're acting the party girl. So that's what everybody invites you to parties for, to be the party girl. They don't invite you to the relationship parties. They invite you to the fun ones, the exotic ones. So then you have the girl who always attracts the mama boys.
Yes.
You know, they want to be mothered.
Yes.
So have a look at yourself. Do you do everything for everyone?
Mm-hmm.
Are you the motherer?
Yes.
You know, and then... And if you're happy with that, that's okay. But that's what you'll attract, guys who want to be sons rather than partners.
Well, it's interesting because I did a survey recently, and out of the survey, I asked what men do men like being mothered, and most of them said a little bit is fine, but not too much. They don't like it, and majority didn't just said just a little bit, and then that's enough. So if a woman's trying to get her value and her worth. Or to be perceived as of value based on being this doing everything, you know, cooking all the time, cleaning up after him, reminding him to do everything, mothering. Men actually end up balking and not liking it, a lot of men. I mean, there's some men that may still love it, but they're not necessarily maybe the kind of man that you're, you know, that really is going to be the kind of man you want for a long-term relationship.
Who really wants to sleep with their mother?
No one.
That's right. So, you know, that's what it really comes down to. Do you want to sleep with your mother?
Yeah. And mothers tend to be critiquing, correcting their sons all the time. And so if you're the woman going, sweetie, don't forget your keys, or sweetie, don't forget your lunch in the fridge, or sweetie, don't forget whatever it is, or your jacket. Might be cold later. I mean, we're talking to 30 plus or sometimes late 20s, but 30, 40 plus men.
50.
Yeah, 50, 60. If he doesn't know to take a jacket, like I know it's you want to say it, but if he doesn't know to take a jacket because the temperature drops at 9 p.m. and he's going to be freezing, well, do you always want to be the person thinking for him all the time? That when you think for somebody else, they don't learn to think for themselves.
And you don't take yourself into account anymore. And you lose yourself.
Yeah, and you end up going crazy when you don't need to. Just let them work it out.
They will.
And if they don't, they'll be colder than the flu next week.
Or alone.
Yeah, oops. Alrighty. So, look, Gillian, it's been wonderful to have you. I love this information. It's so interesting. And it is, in some ways, it's simple. I mean, I've done your training and there's a bit to know. Although there are, you know, people who are listening to this who want to get to know more about this and would like some specific help, they can absolutely contact you at www.identitycentre.com.au. So that's Gillian Madigan at www.identitycentre.com.au.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. It's
absolute
been a pleasure,
pleasure.
And I might get you on again with another topic.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Thank you so much. And thank you, ladies, for being part of the program. Catch you next time.